be in. If I was to go down that slide, I reckon I'd go down as L from Death Note.
Oh.
Yeah, there's my pick.
L from Death Note?
Yep, just coming down
How
the slide.
How would you even dress that?
He's what he's wearing, like a white jumper. But the hair.
He's always sitting like in the Asian squat, though.
You'd just be squatting on the chair.
I'd have to squat on the chair. And I'd probably do my ankles and knees, but it'd be worth it for the bit. So, wow. But yeah, there's my pick anyway.
That'd be fantastic, Matza.
What about you guys, man? You guys thought about it?
You put me on the spot, man. But I'd say maybe Donatello, the Ninja Turtle.
Cool. Wow. Which one's he? Which color?
He's the purple guy. I always identified with the purple long stick man.
Purple long stick man, eh?
Yeah, I've always been, and he was a bit more of the intelligent guy. He's a bit more kind of like laid back.
Oh, I feel bad. That's like you, man.
And plus, you can put on like a green swimsuit to block yourself from the cold because I'm a bitch with the cold, man.
Yeah, you are.
I've got that cold body type, you know what I mean? So that's probably me.
What would I go as?
And then I'm all eyes on Dana now.
I'd probably go as Tristan Jerry, Helmet Jerry, I was going to say.
Ooh.
Just rock the helmet, North top.
Fair. There you go. People might think you're Caleb Daniels. But
it's very in. Even Toby Green's doing the helmet these days.
True. Man. That looked weird, bro.
That was.
That looked really weird.
Man, if you can pull it off. I don't think it's him.
Nah.
To be honest.
Nah,
he's no Jerry. No Jerry.
Yeah. But yeah, there we go. Anyway, we're back at it with Dino again.
He's
yeah,
back,
welcome
man.
Back, bro.
Back
welcome back
thank
again.
You. Yeah, couldn't miss this one.
Nah, 100%. Nah, yeah, he had to make an appearance.
To be fair to myself, I was already committed to coming on pre-North game. But
public holiday today. It's sort of the stars aligned.
The stars aligned. Yeah, look, it was meant to be.
So if you dedicate yourself to the pod more often, North will win more games, bro. That's just scientifically proven.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's back next week, guys. He's back next week.
Back to a three-man pod, you know, as initially designed.
Look, if podcast. North win every game from now to the end of the year, I'll be on every single pod.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. We'll make it work.
Okay, I think we're never seeing him again. I think that's what they're saying.
Stop at you.
Oh, God.
But yeah, anyway, look, it was a pretty boring-ish, interesting week of footy. We'll say, like, a lot of weird results, so I'll say that.
Hard to tip.
Yeah. I think, honestly, on our tips, we might have got one. We didn't even tip North.
That's standard. Which Dino's
going to kill us about.
We'll get there.
We'll get there when we get there. But yeah, the first game was Adelaide versus Richmond. And I think we're putting the line through Adelaide now.
Mate, I never want to hear Adelaide and finals again, man.
Yeah, no.
Get out of here. Pretenders.
Look, one Rankin injury and then you can't win games anymore. Settle down, man.
They're very clearly Rankin and Tex FC. Like, yeah. There's no way these guys are good enough to win games, like serious games of football, let alone choking a home game to Richmond.
Well, they choked that and they also lost to Hawks last week. Hawks are playing good football, but you put that in the fixture, those two games, as games they can win and rebound their season.
Yeah.
They've lost them both. You're out, man. Go away. No more of you.
I was talking with my Adelaide Crows, mate, who basically it was 2 weeks ago, and I said, look, if you guys beat Hawthorn and Richmond coming up, you're a chance for finals. And then they lost both of them.
That's it.
Yeah, that's game. GG.
It's interesting, though, because last year, obviously, they've just missed out.
Mm.
And then this year they started poorly and then they sort of have that resurgence.
And we were excited about him too.
You were, yeah.
We were excited, yeah.
And look, rightfully so, I guess, because Rankin's just tearing it up when he was fit.
Mm.
But you can't tell me that Rankin being out means like you can't beat Richmond at home.
Yeah. Look, Matt Crouch being out is probably a big out as well. Like he's out for the season. But it's weird because he was a non-factor like last year. You know what I mean? Early last year. Interestingly enough, when he did play towards the end of last year, they started killing it.
Mm.
Mm. So is Matt like Matt Crouch? Is he that guy?
The barometer, he might be.
Mm.
I don't know. Yeah. A lot of teams have injuries. I can't just say yeah. That's,
no, you can't.
That
you
can't justify a loss to Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond have injuries.
Tigers. You talk about the injuries, but they had a couple of key ins this round. Like obviously Taranto was back, Prestia came back, Shea Bolton came back. So a couple of key players, and look at the difference that they're you know they win. They play a lot more competitive brand. They've had some good matches, Tigers, where they've played tough football. And this was one of them where they were a bit relentless and they just didn't let... I felt like they wanted it more than the Crows, to be honest.
Mm.
Yeah. And yeah, there's plenty more players to come in, Dusty, Tom Lynch, etc. Mm. But just having a couple of key players in the midfield, especially come back, Taranto being the key, makes a big difference to the way the Tigers play, obviously.
Yeah. I just have a thought, right? So Dusty Martin doesn't play this game. You know, whatever you think happened, you know, they say managed, whatever. But to be honest with you, with Richmond winning the last game, I don't know if he comes back in. Nah, he definitely comes back in. But look, hey, you know, Do they need him?
I don't know what it is. Like, I totally understand the resting him for the G match, but like something about it just I don't like.
Nah.
I don't like fit players not playing.
Look, I get that, but nah. For Dusty,
he can do what he wants, man. He doesn't care.
100%.
I understand. I do understand, but I'm just being honest. There's like 5% of me that's like, I don't know, man. There's plenty of injured players that would just kill to play a game, and you're just like sitting out just for the fanfare.
You're acting a bit like Lee Matthews here, man. Like, settle down,
what
mate.
Did
like,
Lee say?
Nah, Lee said something, you know, words to the effect of, you know, oh, I call these 1-3 Norm Smiths, but like, you know, there's another, you know, there's another 297 games that, you know, that he didn't win the Norm Smith, you know, like, come on, man, come on.
Yeah, Lee's a grumpy old man these days.
No, I didn't realize that he'd become that, you know, that much of a grumpy old man. Like, yeah, just
even Mick Malthouse just like catching up for a coffee, just like venting and ranting.
Yeah. Who would you rather go for coffee with? I think it have to be Lee Matthews and Mick Malthouse.
I think Mick Malthouse.
Or maybe so I can go and slap him across the face. I'm for scared of Lee Carlton.
Yeah, he's lethal. He's Mr. Lethal. He's Mr. You know Lethal, I mean? Like, I feel like both of them, would they be hanging out? It's like, yeah, Nick Daicos, yeah, he's pretty shit, yeah? You know what I mean? Yeah, he can't win a contested ball. Yeah,
he's good, but he wouldn't last it back in the day.
Yeah, no way. Mate, he wouldn't have been in my midfield, mate. I would have sent him to the back pocket.
The players these days can't kick as well, man.
No. Exactly.
Actually, quick question.
Yeah.
Which current AFL coach would you least want to get a coffee with?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
I feel like it's easy. It's between Chris or Brad Scott. Maybe Chris, because Chris will just keep whining.
Who's the Essendon one?
Oh, Brad. You know what? We'll go with Brad because I wouldn't just...
It's Brad, man.
You know what, though? No, I'm going to go with Chris. I'm going to go with Chris because at least with Brad, I would just say, hey, what was it like being with Brent Harvey and Drew Petrie? If I was having a coffee with him, I'd overlook all the stuff that makes me angry and just talk about the good stuff, you know what I mean? Jared Waite, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, all the things that I enjoyed about North back in the day.
I understand you, yeah.
You know, I just talked to him about that.
These guys actually like to talk, right? They just love press conferences. They just go like it's their, like they've got a chance to say whatever they want to say forever.
They coach part-time.
They coach part-time.
they're
part-time podcasters, those guys. They're like us. I reckon Longmire from Frio, he hates smiling or talking.
I was going to say... He's the most scary.
He's just not happy.
But I feel like maybe in the coffee situation, he might just relax a bit.
Maybe. Him, Kingsley's also scary.
Oh, yeah, you know? Shit.
Not him.
If he had a coffee, I reckon he'd go like roid rage, you know what I mean? And start, you know, swinging punches at people. You got my coffee order wrong! You know, like he gets a bit too excited, you know?
What about a horse? I don't know, man.
Horse, that's Longmire, right?
Yeah.
So
we just mentioned him.
There's two Longmires, isn't there?
Yeah.
Longmuir.
So, but you were referring to Longmuir.
I was referring to Freya.
But he's not horse.
No, horse. I've said horse now.
I was talking about horse before.
Yeah.
He was talking about horse. And they're like, and what about horse? You know?
Yeah, so
anyway,
so
the Freo guy.
My original Freo guy is what I was talking about with Longmuir.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Look.
Yeah, there is two, isn't there? That's crazy. Yeah,
the Freo one, I think he'd be pretty chill, man.
No, but he looks depressed.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, maybe he needs a coffee with the boys to, you know, to get him up a little bit. We'll invite him over to Deggs next time we go. You know what I mean?
I reckon Ross Lyon would be pretty good to have a coffee for.
He'd be boring. Just like his footy.
He'd be all right. He's just, he doesn't talk. He doesn't use full stops, so he's always got you. He doesn't talk in full stops.
That's fair.
You can tell us about the good old days on Footy Classified. I don't know.
Yeah, true. You know, who was he on with? Like with Caro and
Lloyd.
And Lloyd, yeah, nah. That's probably the highlight of his career, to be honest with you.
And almost winning the flag.
Yeah, true. The grand final replay. We really dodged talking about Richmond winning, I guess.
Can I just say one more thing about Adelaide?
Yeah
tell
we
me.
We spoke a little bit about the outs, right? Crouch, yeah. Rankin and Tex. Why the hell did they drop Riley O'Brien?
I don't know, man.
Against Nankervis.
Nankervis is not to be messed with.
He's not the dude put a younger, more inexperienced ruckman against when you already have key players out. That's inexcusable.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I have that as my notes as
there
well,
you go,
Rob
man.
Admitted.
I promise I didn't read your notes.
No.
I had it as well.
I was actually, and like Strauchan or whatever, however you say his name, was playing all right, but he got injured and then they're just massively exposed. Nankervis had like his biggest ranking score of ages.
Disgusting.
And whenever Nankervis goes crazy, Richmond win, man. He's seriously the barometer for them. So
that's a fair call.
Also, Prestia came in and came out.
That's true. Didn't get
this guy has to retire, man.
Yeah.
Did he get injured or did
he? Oh, got, did he? Yeah, oh, did he get injured?
Calf soreness.
Oh my god. That sucks. I think he played out the game though, didn't he?
I think it was the last quarter.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying is he just came back in, immediately injured. He's just like a revolving door, this guy.
He's like, man, he's like you with injuries, man. Yeah. Like, boy, there's always something, you know.
There's always something. There's always a little niggle.
Yeah, there's something. What was it, hamstring tightness?
I had my hamstrings.
Are they better now?
I just want everyone to know my hamstrings are a lot less tight than they used to be.
Oh, that's good. That's
well done, George. Thank you for your support and your prayers.
That's good. That's good. It was the prayers that got you there.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
From our loyal fans. But yeah, no, Timmy T back, you know.
It's the plantar fasciitis is what I got now, bro.
Plantar fasciitis?
Yeah, under the foot. It's that band under that foot.
Mm. Oh, there you go. I've got bicep tendonitis.
Oh, so, yeah. From all the bicep work.
No, exactly, man. It's because it's too much.
What do you got, Dean? Nothing.
Yeah.
I've actually got this heel situation happening.
Everyone's got an injury, man. Honestly, if you ask any old person,
I swear, man.
They've got an injury.
I wish I was joking, but like, I do some stretching most nights.
Yeah.
Just part of my relaxing.
Do you have the ball? That's that ball?
No, I don't have a ball. Yeah. But
then you gotta get the
when
ball,
I stretch and extend my left leg, yeah. I've got this tightness on my heel on my left. It's ridiculous. I can't stretch it out. I can't extend.
Wow. There you go. So
it's actually quite bad.
Mate, see, we're not even sports people. We're falling apart ourselves.
You know why? I'm sorry, Dion Presley. I'm forever judging you.
Yeah, true.
Take as much time as you need. Take as much time as you need.
Retire, but you know, you've done well at least to get as far as you have.
Can I say a quick thing as well? Questionable tactics from Adam Uzay in the last quarter.
Mm.
And I know they won the game, so well done. But like Liam Baker, deep forward, one out. What's up with that, man?
Yeah, he's not doing much.
He's a new Dusty. You know? That's what he is.
I'm sorry. Like, not only did I have him on Supercoach Draft, like, whatever. he played fine. He was okay. But like, that's probably the least type of player you would want. Look, deep forward.
He's just trying to prove that Baker can play in every position because I'm pretty sure he's lining up full back next week.
Probably.
I think he could play. Surprise me. This guy can play any position.
I think... Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think you got to try something different. You know what I mean? But do you really need to try something different when you're up? Like, I don't know.
Well, he was playing well. That's the confusing thing. He was playing well, and he's clean and tough around the ball, and he was really contested last quarter. So anyway,
maybe thought I want that clean play up forward this time. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe saw it that way.
Well, let's not forget how little option they have in the forward line.
True.
Yeah.
No Dusty, no LaFau, no Tom Lynch. Mm. Shai Bolton was probably playing. Mid, a little bit of middle, a little bit of forward.
Yeah.
They don't have many options, bro.
Mm. Yeah. Shout out to Jimmy Ball-Lace.
Ball-Lace, not Ball-Ass?
Nah, Ball-Ass. Jimmy Ball-Ass, my boy. He got his first goal, which is nice, you know. Well, so, yeah, nah, he's got a bit of size to him, man, little Ball-Ass, you know what I mean? So shout out to him. Like, you know, and it is Ball. They were saying Ball-Lace on the broadcast.
Yeah.
So it's probably Ball-Ace.
Yeah, probably.
You know? I butchered that one last year.
Tragic. If his name was actually Ball-Ace, that'd be a bit...
Yeah, that'd be really... Look, I'm sure that's what he was called in primary school. Let's be honest.
100%.
Like, you had to. If you're a kid, if they didn't come up with that, then, you know,
if you're a
waste
kid,
the opportunity.
If you're not taking advantage of that name, what are you doing, man? Yeah, what type of bully are you?
Exactly. Maybe he was the bully. He was, you know, because he knew... He knew as a little kid, he's like, man, I'm going to cop it. So, you know, he's like, I'm going to go on the front foot.
Well,
join the footy team.
Were the footy players not the bullies, mate? They were the jocks in high school. So, it could
you know what?
Sense.
If you're getting,
yeah, no, exactly.
If see? You're getting called ball ass by your footy mates, it's kind of like friendly banter.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean?
Mm. No, that's fair.
So, that's probably how we got out of it, I'd say.
Yeah, that was the only interesting thing of the game for me. I was, because he missed one earlier, and I'm like, I wanted to talk about his first goal. And then he got one eventually. So shout out to him.
He got it for you.
Yeah.
I reckon that's enough time talking about this
100%.
Game. Well done, Richmond, though. Yeah. Great win in Adelaide.
It was. It's a fantastic win. Mm-hmm. Just how bad is it from the Crows to lose at home as well?
Yeah, they suck. No, we don't have to talk about them for the rest of the season now, which is good.
Thank God.
They can look at draft picks like us. So that's pretty good for them.
You know what they need?
Mm.
Petty from...
Yeah, that fixes everything. Give him $2 million a season.
Can you believe they offered that?
That's crazy. Because you watch him now and I'm just like, he's not that guy.
He's definitely not that guy.
You're not that guy, pal.
Thinking that they're closer to doing well in finals than they actually are, clearly.
Yeah, nah, it's fair.
Overpaying. You know who they could use, and this is a nice little transition.
Ooh.
Eric Hipwood, baby.
Do we take everything back?
What a game.
No. Well, you know what? I found the most impressive thing to me is he's up one-on-one in many contests against Jones. And Jones is one of the best one-on-one defenders we've seen over the last couple of years.
If we were to make like a 22 of your boys, he lines up at fullback, let's be fair.
100% he does.
Let's be
fair.
He's
an incredible one-on-one defender. No one can say he isn't. Statistic-wise, he's a freak. And Hipwood beat him one-on-one multiple times in the same night. That's like, no one does that. So he came to play, the kid.
He was incredible, honestly.
Yeah, it was really good.
Geez, 6 goals, 20 disposals, 13 marks. And like you said, against a really good defender.
Yeah, one-on-one, man. Like, that's crazy. I mean, good on the Lions for finally biting back and actually winning a game that they needed to win. Obviously, off the bye, I don't know, maybe they did another Vegas trip or something like that.
Maybe. They just G'd themselves up a little bit.
But they came out swinging, so yeah. Good on them.
What I will say with them, right, like I've brought their injury list up, right? And if you can see it, right, there's 4 ACLs, right? So Lincoln McCarthy, Darcy Gardner, Dudé and Coleman. They're all first 22s. But then after that, it's just Will Ashcroft and a kid named Carter Michael. Who's Carter Michael?
Right? I don't know.
You know, so basically, like, what I'm getting at is like the injury list is not that big anymore. You know what I mean? Now they've everyone's back. Like,
I think every team's dealing with that amount of injuries.
Exactly. To be honest, like, who's come back now? Zach Bailey came back recently. That was a big one.
Yep.
There was another couple of decent players who've come back in recent weeks. So I think if they're gonna stake their claim for a final spot, it's gonna happen now. You
know? I think they'll make the 8, man.
But we ruled them out last week.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, this is a win at Etihad. Like, they don't do that.
That's fair.
Dogs, who play really well at, I should say, Marvel.
They have been playing very well, the Doggies.
They've been informed. They smashed them, the Lions. If they can bring that type of consistency, man, they'll win enough to get there. There's still like 10 games left in the season.
Yeah, true.
They're the one for me.
Yeah, they're a chance. I've got to be honest, I wasn't watching this game like every possession. Every time I sort of looked up, there was 3 things I noticed. One, Hipwood just dominating. 2, I must say there was a lot of dubious calls against the Dogs. Like, it seemed like they were quite hard done by with some of the new holding the ball stuff. It just seemed like every time I was watching anyway. And the third was McKenna just butchering the footy.
Yeah.
He was, like, I was just questioning, like, how is this guy on a list? Like, that bad of decision making.
Wow.
Horrible. Like, marking the ball and then just trying to hit a no-look dart down the corridor and, like, turnover. I'm just like, what are you doing?
Maybe, man? They've given him a bit more freedom and license to take the game
take
on.
It back, man.
Well, he's injured now, so he's gone. He's injured.
Yeah, there you go.
Suspend his license for, for a few months, I reckon.
Look, the injury is going to cover the fact that he should have been dropped, to be honest, but otherwise.
Yeah, fair.
Look, they just beat smashed the Dogs out of the center, and whenever the Dogs lose the center battle, they just lose. You know, Bont got tagged. He still kicked 3 goals somehow. Treloar continued to his amazing form, but, you know, the rest, like, McRae just does nothing these days.
Yeah.
Like, he gets into the center, gets a clearance, and then gets taken out of the center.
Yeah. I don't get what, like, it's weird that he played in the middle and then had his worst Supercoach game.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know I'm bringing it back to Supercoach as I always do, but, you know.
Did he play? I don't think he played that much middle minutes, though.
Bro, I'll tell you. Look,
tell
I'll
me, actually. That'd be good.
I'll
to
tell
know.
You right now. Do I have CBAs? So, look, CBAs. He had 8. That's more than he has. That's more than his last.
It's not too bad, actually.
Yeah, that's a few, for him. It's a lot, and he just didn't really get involved.
Well, how much did Treloar have?
Treloar for 25.
Oh, well, so it's nothing,
like,
man.
Yeah, but it's still like 20%, 30%. It's still something.
I think McRae, to be impactful, needs to be like a 70-80% CBA player.
Yeah,
but what's he doing on the list then?
Yeah, look, the thing is, he had a good game the previous week off half forward, where he kicked a couple goals and he was. When he was moving it forward against Collingwood, he was, you know, he was very clean with it and making his possessions count. But, yeah.
Look, anyway. Ed Richards is going to come back next week. I wouldn't be surprised if McRae gets dropped.
Maybe.
So, the reason I'm bringing up is I reckon he's a trade target for some team that needs an inside player.
Look. Yeah. No, I agree. Like, there's heaps of teams that would love to have a McRae on their list. He was an elite midfielder. What, only 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? Like, elite. Like, we thought that this is the guy right here. And he kicks it well as well.
Saints will probably...
Yeah, true.
Take a bite, I'd say.
True. I think he'd be perfect for him, to be honest with you. Yeah, the interesting thing for them, their defense is really bad, in my opinion, right? And Keith goes down. So, Jed Buslinger, does he get his shot?
Well, here's the thing, right? I agree. Yes, yeah, he should
because he's been dominating in the VFL.
And Bevo has shown an ability to actually play a lot of youngsters, which is something, you know, despite some of his decision-making, I actually quite like the fact that he's willing to throw kids in. But the key defender versus Keith, like who's in the team with Sam Darcy and all the other youngsters in 5 years? It's Buslinger. It's not Keith.
Exactly right.
So, like, if you're going to rebuild and not make finals, do it.
And he's actually another. Since you mentioned Darcy, they tried to play him in defense at one point. Why don't you chuck him back?
Correct.
Why don't you chuck him? Give it a shot. You know, I think
Norton would be a better backman, to be honest.
Well, he is a backman. He's a proper backman. So you know, like he was drafted as a backman back in the day. So maybe that'll help him out. Rather than just rotating through O'Donnell and Karmas and undersized dudes who aren't proper defenders. Like
it is kind of weird though, isn't it? How the Dogs, pretty much every year since they won the premiership, you would think that they're in the window, and we've always sort of rated their list, but they haven't really gone all in. On free agents, like say the Saints have, or Essendon has. Like, why rebuild when you've got probably the best team you've had in the hot club's history win a premiership?
I think they're just missing pieces. Like, they've got some elite talent.
That's what I mean, though.
And then there's just players that just don't know.
But why not acknowledge that and say, okay, look, Bailey Smith's down. Let's go try and recruit the best winger available or the best fullback, you know, because Keith's a bit,
yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, they're trying to rebuild before their elite talent is sort of past it. They're still in that win now sort of mode, kind of, but not really. Like, it's just a weird spot they've put themselves in, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange to me, but...
I reckon we'll move on to the next game. And so, interesting with this game, this is the only team who came off their bye that lost. It's GWS.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But full credit to Will Day and the lads over at Hawthorne. My boy Will Day, he's the guy. Can we admit that he's the guy?
He's transformed the Hawk. Like I think he's been one of the main reasons for the ascendancy of the Hawks over the last 6 weeks.
And I think it's the aggression that he goes in with. He's one of those dudes who he doesn't look like it, but he's tough. And he doesn't take a backward step. And he's clean with it. Look, there's not many midfielders like that.
So, he's a fantastic footballer.
Yeah.
And Hawthorn's just on this run, man. Like, I was with family at a family function during this game, and most of my family's Hawthorn supporters. And at halftime, I looked at the score. It wasn't out of range, but they're down about 4 goals. I said, look, you'll probably lose this one. That's okay. You've been in great form. Hopefully keep it close. And my brother in particular looked at me and he goes, it's not over. What are you talking about? Like, a bit of
arrogance. The belief, mate.
The belief's there.
Yeah. See, that belief would not have been there. That would not have been there like 5 or 6 weeks ago.
And then 10 to 15 minutes into that third quarter, you know, they're back within a goal or two, and he goes, see, told you. Yeah. Like, their chests are out, and you know what? Why shouldn't they be?
Mate, it should be, man. Seriously, what is it, six out of seven or something?
And they lost to Port Adelaide, which was a freaky, freaky,
insane.
Really unlucky result.
Mm. Well, you know, the Hawks have won 5 of the last 6 against the Giants.
What?
And do you remember, actually, it was last year.
How does that happen?
I don't know. That's like, if I knew that, I would have tipped them.
And I think the one that they lost last year, wasn't it?
No, we did. But we did tip them. On the pod, we tipped them.
Oh, yeah.
We did.
My pod tips and my personal tips don't always align.
There's cognitive dissonance there. Align all your picks.
So you actually tipped North Melbourne?
I don't remember, but unlikely.
Surely not.
For legal reasons, I don't remember. What do you think is wrong with the Giants, man? Because they've been terrible for a while now.
Well, we were saying in the first few weeks of the year, like, these guys play so fast. They just transition the ball.
Yeah, they're crazy.
They're so tough. They're so deep.
They're like the good version of St Kilda, playing fast, basically.
But what is it? I mean, Coniglio's out. Tom Green's not in form.
I think Kelly was a big loss because he was in.
So Kelly and Cogs are out, and Tom Green isn't playing at his best. Is that all it is? Like, just,
I don't know. There has to be something that's going on. I think as a team, they're not moving. They're not scoring, right? They're not moving the ball with any freedom. Right? I mean, O'Halloran kicked 4 of their goals. O'Halloran.
Yeah,
that's
4 goals from him. Like, you might get 1 at max from him normally, right? So their forwards aren't firing. I don't think their ball movement is particularly impressive. I think Whitfield's been held significantly over the last, say, maybe 6 weeks or so, where he's just not getting the freedom.
Yeah, well, I'll give you some of the big injuries. So Lachie Ash, he's firmly in the 22. Jack Buckley, gun. Yeah. Cornelio, gun. And then we've got Josh Kelly, gun. Perryman, he's also a very good player as well. Just, I feel like it's those dudes, man.
Yeah.
Those dudes. And then, you add,
they are back half players as well. So it does help drive a lot of their play.
Isaac Cummings out, but then he probably wouldn't get it.
He hasn't played all year.
But he would play now. You know what I mean? With Lachie Ash out. And Perryman out. So, yeah.
But they've lost 4 of the last 5, right?
Yeah.
And now they're sitting 8th. And we all know that part in the like fighting for the last few spots in the eight is really hotly contested.
Mm.
I think they'll be fine, but that's just not what we were expecting. And it's more like their form early last year, where they were just sort of disjointed. And then we saw that they could just switch it on and look incredible again. So I back them in to do it.
Same. I back them in as well. It's just not clear watching them what exactly the problem is. Just that you just notice by the eye test, they just don't have that free-flowing game that was cutting teams apart in the start of the season. So let's just see if they can find it.
Can I talk a little bit more about some Hawthorn stuff, right?
Yeah, so 100%, 100%.
There's this kid, Cal Shadir.
Yes.
And he's not, like, you wouldn't look at the stats and say, oh, who's this kid? Like, you actually would probably scan over his stats. But when you watch, he's a first-year player. No one thought he would play this year. And then he's come in and he doesn't look physically ready. But then you see him compete and you're like, despite his size, he's fully ready to compete.
Yeah, bro goes in.
He goes in.
He really goes in. Like,
and since he's been in, they've been in form. Like, he's, just like we say, Will Day, like, there's got so many, they've got so many plays that are just head down, manic, just pressure, and it's really cool to see.
And another guy who's been competing, Chol as well, man. He took a stunning mark, contested mark at one point in the game. And he just, like, I've said it earlier in the year that he's one of my, like, what's it called? He's a player that I can identify with just the way he does things lazily. You know what I mean? How he looks, or not lazily, he looks like he's being lazy, but he's doing his job well. And that's what he's done this year to a T. You know, I think he probably wasn't doing that as much for Gold Coast where he's, you know, actually putting the effort in. But yeah, this year has actually been very important as a sort of a throwaway player from Gold Coast, like a salary dump type guy. He's been a great pickup.
No, he's been awesome, man.
I mean, some of the other recruits like D'Ambrosio has been good this year. Weddle is playing some pretty tough football. They're just getting a lot of effort from a lot of their kind of mid-tier players. I don't know exactly what their final list is going to look like because they've got a lot of midfielders that are kind of seem to be on the even footing, other than like Day, who's clearly above them. But yeah, they're all sticking to the game style. It sounds like Sam Mitchell's really got him. Like, I think he's a really good coach, Sam Mitchell, and I think he understands his team quite well. So yeah, interesting to see what the Hawks can do. I mean, they're in the running for the eight at the moment.
Yeah, well,
I don't think they'll continue. It's too hard, I think, for them. But
see, look, they're 24 points right now, and there's three teams on 28 points. So three teams with a win above them.
Yeah.
Only one of those teams is in the eight. So it's kind of like, so yeah, it is tough. But like, if anyone's to do it, man, with that amount of, with that form,
and they've got Richmond this week, who's a bit of a bogey team for them.
Interesting.
Bit of a bogey team.
Yeah. And I think Richmond will have that little bit of confidence after an away win.
But they also got Dusty's 300th. I think they'll play for him. I think Tom Lynch might be back maybe. Ooh. They're not going to be easy beats, Richmond. Ooh.
So that is a huge game. That is a huge game.
Also, how funny is Jaff? He's probably the most fun guy in the league to watch when he's up and about.
You know what I love about him? Kelly Underwood, the typical the typical Hawks commentator because of these slots. Oh, and Chol marks it. I mean, Jath.
Oh, that's shocking, man.
No one's surprised by that error. Man,
there's a streak. Isn't there like the blonde streak through Chol?
One is tall. One's not as tall. One's got blonde in his hair.
The other one has,
Come on, Underwood. Like, honestly, stop feeding.
Just be better.
Just stop feeding everyone's, you know.
The narrative. Stop feeding the narrative.
Yeah.
Speaking of feeding the narrative. Dino,
it's time.
I'm
excited.
Look, I feel like, you know, I'm happy to let you start us off just because this has been building. You know, you haven't had an opportunity to talk about North. You've just heard me, you know, talking, you know, I'm trying to talk to George about North on the pod.
You've been a bit flat.
He just hasn't wanted to hear it.
Look, man, it's not that. It's just like I've kind of just expected North loss.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Congrats.
Yeah.
Thanks, George. Boys. Thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah. You know what, as well? Not only am I just obviously excited that we've won, but I was at that family function around Hawthorn supporters. And, you know, we've both been in the bottom four for a couple of years. Mm. They're now doing well. And I was just copping it all morning, early afternoon.
Really?
Yeah, I was just getting like, when are you going to win a game? What's going on?
You know, true.
Why can't you win? Like, and, you know, you try and just have a chat about footy and say, look, we're a young team. It's not been beltings like 80 plus points where, you know, we're somewhat competing in some quarters. You try and take the positives, right? But I was with a bit of chess saying, today's the day. We're going to win.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm actually listening to the game on the way home, and then I chucked it on second quarter, and I'm seeing West Coast with all the behinds. I'm thinking 2 goals, 12. North's kicking a couple. If we can't win this one, We're just not going
to
win.
This is the one to win, man.
When one of the other worst teams in the league is kicking so inaccurately, you have to just win.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you know what? The boys just won, man. They just won.
they just won the game.
That's what they did.
That's it. That's it.
There's a lot I want to talk about, right? Mm. I'm just going to monologue a bit here, if I can.
Yeah, right? No, you know what?
Put the mics down, I reckon.
Right. Yeah.
No, just some key points. Some key points.
Yeah.
I've criticized probably more than anyone in the media included, our captains, right? Mm. I said last time I was on the pod, the worst captains in terms of their performance ever.
Ever.
I said that.
Yeah, it's fair. No, it's fair.
I said since they became captain, their form has been the worst of any captain. I'm not saying throughout their career. I just like the time they put the band on, horrible, right?
Mm.
Specifically, Jai Simpkin, man. Was that like Paddy Cripps in the last quarter last week?
He played a game, man. Played a game.
Was that like Paddy Cripps-esque two goals in the last quarter to ice it?
Man, that's probably the best game he's played in his career to
this
point.
In terms of clutch moments, yes.
Seriously, he was excellent, man.
Like just the whole team had their head down from minute one, trying their ass off. I don't think we've – like I cited a few stats here, right? So tackles. Look at the tackle count. You tell me, is this North Melbourne? Are you kidding me?
Mm.
84 tackles to 62 with 19 inside 50 tackles. I don't think we've done that in the last 4 years, right?
No.
And you see, like, how is this happening? Eh? You see guys like Simpkin, Jackson Archer, who when we drafted, I said to Matza, I'm pretty sure this is just a pity father-son pick. I said that to you.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
And then I'm watching the VFL and I'm saying, yeah, I think it is a pity VFL pick. Mm. And then he just plays AFL. And when he goes in the AFL team, he turns into his old man. I don't know what it is, man.
Some players just aren't meant for the VFL, man.
His stats are just like, whatever, 10 disposals. But he's just tough as guts for a young kid.
Mm.
And he took Liam Ryan out of the game. They had to put him on ball to find the ball because he could not touch it around Jackson Archer.
Mm.
If you've got a defense of him and Charlie Common moving forward with Will Dawson, who unfortunately got injured, we're going to be fine, man. Mm. We're going to be fine. And it's not just because we won. Like, you look at the intent and the physical nature of these young kids, you're like, you know what? I can actually see with a bit more muscle where we're going now.
Yeah.
I can see it, Matza.
100%. You know, I think what it is Comben flying for the ball when he's not taking the best key forward, and he hasn't been, right? He's able to just run amok, basically. There's that. There's Core playing as a lockdown defender. He's actually been okay. He hasn't been so bad. You know what I mean? Well,
the pressure up the field's been better, so he doesn't,
he doesn't get exposed as much. Yeah, we got Logue coming back in at some point, right? All of a sudden, the defense. Yeah, no, you're right. The defense looks just fine. You know, like
it was the pressure up the ground that allowed our defense to actually. They only scored two goals for like how long? Like three quarters.
Mm.
They couldn't score.
Yeah, they went a little crazy at the end, but
they were missing some shots. But don't get me wrong. But you know, the pressure was there. That's why they were missing a lot of them.
Mm.
There's another man I want to reference here, and I said it at the start of the pod. Tristan Jerry, right? I wasn't on his ass like a lot of North fans were last year. I thought it was a bit harsh, actually.
Mm.
Like, you wouldn't know too much, like, in the North, you know, fan space, but people, like, panicking that he was our first choice ruck this year. Panicking.
I think the issue was, probably for them, is that we've been so used to Todd Goldstein, who's, even as he was leaving, was still doing excellent, right? He's still excellent. He was getting, you know, bodied a little bit on the physical side because, you know, makes sense because he's old. But like, even then, he was still having great games.
Yeah.
But Cherry this year?
All year, he's been top 3 to 5 ruckman.
Mm.
All year.
Mm.
But this game in particular, did you see that chase down time?
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah. That was insane. Look, and he didn't do it for style points. I'll tell you that. He looked ridiculous doing it.
Man.
But he made it happen. He made it work. He did not give up.
He became a shin boner in that moment for life. For life.
That's it.
That is ridiculous. I don't think I've ever seen a ruckman do that.
Mm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And to think we drafted a young ruckman with the idea of, you know, maybe he'll be the ruckman in the future. Cherry's just been like, no.
Take your time, young man. Take your time.
Tiku, you're going to take your time as well. I'm the guy. You know, I am the guy.
100%, man.
Shout out to
Cherry, man. Like, look who he's tapping it down to, right? LDU, Sheasel, Wardler.
Mm.
We're fine. Yeah. We'll be completely fine once these kids, instead of having played 10 games, have played 50.
Exactly.
Just give us another year or two.
Mm.
And take your shots now, and everyone has been for years now, but this is different than what was like 4 years ago when we had no youngsters.
Mm.
We have a list now. It's just a matter of, okay, touch it up with a couple, get a few more recruits, and wait. It's going to happen.
That's it. Yeah, no, you can see it. Even though, you know, it is a win against West Coast, but regardless of that, you can see what's going on. And I think the heartening thing for me, right, was LDU, who had an incredible game, right? Like, you could say he was the best player. You could argue he wasn't, but whatever, right? He mentioned that, you know, now other guys are stepping up to the plate because he said, I felt like I was carrying the load. Mm-hmm. Now he doesn't need to carry the load because Sheasel's coming in there, you know, winning some ball. Simpkins winning some ball. Wardlaw's winning some ball.
Can we talk about Harry Sheasel for just like 30 seconds, right?
Yeah. I want to make a big call on him. Fastest hands in the league.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I actually think he's faster than Butters on the hand pass.
You're probably right, man.
Yeah. He's like that little quick.
And the funny thing is, yeah, a few weeks into the season, everyone's like, just get him in the midfield, you know, start the transition. And he has like two games of 23 disposals and everyone's like, oh, he's dipping in form. 23 disposals? And then he's back to 30 now.
Yep.
It took him about 2 weeks to get used to playing full-time mid and that's it. Now he's one of the best mids in the league probably. Ridiculous, man. Wardlaw, just quietly, 10 clearances, 7 tackles, absolute animal. Like
the manic pressure that he provides, man, as well. Man.
It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. And Nick Larkey finally getting service, kicks a bag again.
He actually took a contested mark, which is
nice. He was great.
And I thought he would have been credited with another couple, but he didn't. I was surprised at that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's all right.
But he looked good as a physical presence. You know, I don't think he was like out-muscled by Barris that much at all.
Well, when he had a lot more one-on-ones.
Yeah.
You know, usually he's getting out-muscled. The ball's flying over his head. It's not to his advantage. Like, of course he's going to lose the contest.
Yeah, it's true.
And just speaking of Wardlaw, I don't want any more chat about Rising Star nomination. Like, close the betting.
Yeah.
Just, that's it. It's his. If he's fit, he's winning it.
Yeah.
There's no chance freaking Windsor or Wilson are winning it over George Wardlaw. Are you kidding me?
The only person who has a chance is if Colby McKercher comes back and averages 30 disposals or half back.
Sure. Yeah, but okay.
To be honest, I think he's a few weeks away, unfortunately.
Sure, but
you know? Nah, it's got to be Georgie.
Georgie's winning it. Anyway, look, man. Phone's down now. That's it.
There we go. Nah, thank you, Dana. Thank you.
I'm just wrapped. Look, we can come. I don't care if we come last. I really don't care. It's not about, the wooden spoon. No one's going to look back in history and say, remember that time North won 2 wooden spoons in a row or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're going to look back and say, okay, man, that was a shit couple of years, but thank God it worked.
Yeah.
And that's what I can see this weekend is that we've got over half the list ready to go now. Mm.
And you know, he's the tied in with Georgie, right? So, because he's put the mic away. He's been chilling right now, right? Does it really bother you if someone says, 4 wooden spoons?
Well, I'm actually happy to transition even into Carlton now as a and skip the other game for now.
But just, what's your thoughts on that? Because now you guys are doing all right.
Well,
you guys are doing all right.
If you remember at the start of the year, I was saying, preaching a little bit of patience and saying, it takes a long, long time. And I was bringing back to how long it took Carlton. Carlton drafted Wiedering, Kerno, Mackay in 2015. It's 2024, and this is our first consistent year of dominance. Look how long it takes, man.
That's actually crazy. Like 9 years from now, if you thought 7 or 8 years from now for us, Sheasel, Wardlaw,
that's what I'm saying.
Having that amount of experience now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you guys decided you were like, hoping for more, hoping more. I'm like, bro, it takes forever. It takes forever and you're still years away and that's not an insult. That's just the way it is.
Mm.
So look, you've got some of the gun players that come into the team now. You've got a lot of things to come around. Players that you think that will be good will be gone in a couple of years and there'll be new ones that you think are good. Takes a long time for that bottom 10 to bottom 5 to really round out.
Yep.
That's where Carlton's growth has been, in that bottom 5, bottom 6. It just takes such a long time. When you go through that 100% rebuild, when the teams are up at the top, like the Geelongs or the Sydneys that have cycling through players and can keep their good core and get the new, they recycle. But players that, teams that have bottomed out like Carlton and have literally turned over their whole list other than Doherty and Cripps, it takes 10 years, man. That's how long it takes, bro. So,
but what, back to my question though. Like, does it bother you now that you guys had wooden spoons? Now that you guys are doing well?
No, it doesn't bother me now because it's a pain of the past.
And that's going to be us in 5 years' time when people say, "Oh, you guys had AFL handouts." Like what handouts? And then you had number one picks. Whatever. Like it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
As long as you get to in the end, right?
Mm. Just one last thing, actually. The free kick on Simpkin or for Simpkin at the end.
Mm. Approved by the AFL.
Whatever.
Cleared. Yeah.
Firstly, just real quick, Yo sat on Wardlaw's head about 2 seconds before that. The umpire was clearly just giving a retrospective free kick there.
Yeah, it's the balancing, balancing the books.
And secondly, I don't give a shit. Right. We can move on now.
I don't think we expected any North Melbourne supporters to care about that. Mm. Well, I think if you want to do a little talk on umpires, I think the AFL is taking the absolute piss at the moment, though. Like, I'm so frustrated as a Carlton man, but I'm sure every team has their own thing. This holding the ball rule is just doing my head in, man.
Do you not like it
at all? I hate it. And this is why. This is my quick thing on it. They, a couple of weeks ago, they're like, they used Kerno as an example where, was it Aaliyah or whoever it was? MacAndrew spun Kerno around like 720 and Kerno kicked the ball and they said, like, that needs to stop. You need to call that, right? So like, oh, for the safety of the player, you know, call decisions earlier. And what they did is like, all right, that means if the ball's tied up, ball it up. Instead, they're just calling everything holding the ball. Walsh, like, is in the tussle of the contest, picks up the ball, is tackled holding the ball. That's not what the rule's for. Mm. The rule's for tackling someone and then them calling holding the ball when it's in the free flow of the play, which still doesn't happen. How many times are players grabbing the ball, missing their boot, not play on, he tried? What?
Mm. It's not...
Tap down to a player stationary, tackled, holding the ball. That is not the rule. That's like... Get started.
I see your frustration. It's not perfect at all, right? Mm. But I actually think it's an improvement.
Because considering nothing was holding the ball at the start of the year, and we're talking about that holding the ball is a good rule.
It's a great rule.
I would rather feel a bit hard done by that my player, I thought he had no prior and sort of thought he did, or maybe he didn't dispose of it, and maybe he just got a finger. Like, I'd rather lean towards paying it more than a sick tackle not be rewarded, which was happening for ages.
Look, I agree, I don't. My point is that I don't think those tackles in plays are being rewarded. The ones that are being rewarded is
it's not throw perfect. Up
and there's six players around. He taps, Goldstein taps to me, I'm tackled holding the ball.
It's not perfect.
As opposed to me running a couple of steps, getting tackled, miss the ball with my boot, play on.
Yeah. Mm. It's not perfect by any means, but I personally feel less confused watching the game now because I can see a sick tackle. Hey, he picked it up and he didn't dispose of it. See you later. You're gone.
Yeah, it's
fair. I prefer that personally. Yeah,
look, it's like it was. I remember that there was a time where the rules were like this, maybe what, 5 or 6 years ago, where everything was holding the ball and you couldn't do the fake I'm trying to get rid of it type thing that players always used to do, you know?
Like, remember we were complaining maybe last time I was on the pod where a player would pick up the ball, get tackled and swing at the ball with his foot and miss it, but because he didn't have prior, the incorrect disposal like went out the window.
But that's what I'm just saying. That hasn't changed, bro. Mm.
I'm saying like a player would pick up the ball and get pinned like straight away, no prior. No disposal, gone. I like that.
Yeah, but when they're running and they've got the ball and they get tackled and they miss their boot, it's not holding the ball. They're not paying that. They're really not.
It's being inconsistent.
Yeah.
They're really
we'll have to.
Some of them have. Watch. Like a couple of times I've seen it where any attempt to dispose it and you've not made contact is gone. And I like that personally. Mm.
Yeah. I like it as well. I just, from what I'm seeing.
From what you saw, maybe that's not. Just not. And that's the thing. It's not consistent.
It's not.
That's probably the main thing.
That's the thing. The consistency is still my head. Because it's impacting the way the games, and you're like, you're watching it as a supporter and you feel like you're hard done by. And this is not a Carlton thing. This is everyone, right? When you think it's inconsistent. So they just need to get the consistency right. But I feel like they've gone too hard on the stationary stuff and not hard enough on the movement, the moving play.
Yeah, fair enough. And the bigger issue I have, and nice transition to the next game. Games being decided by sillier free kicks than what we're talking about.
Well, that's right.
The one that they admitted they were wrong, obviously Max King's won the game. Something about a defender one-on-one with a forward, there's a bit of a tussle happening, right? You can't give that.
Bro, it's 100 metres from the ball.
It's 100 metres from the ball and it's a close game and you know it's like red time. Don't give it. Like...
Yeah, 100%.
There's times in the game to just not give it, and that's a time.
Yeah.
Do they look at the contest and go, Max King, supposedly a good contested mark, and, you know, versus MacAndrew, who's like, you know, a twig, you know, MacAndrew shouldn't be in this, so we're going to call it?
Yeah.
You know, is there a bit of that involved?
I don't know.
No, there isn't, man, because the ball wasn't even kicked to him.
Yeah, it's...
They were just tussling. It's like Dean talking and me and you just playing with each other's hair or something like that.
Yeah, true.
I think other sports do this way better than footy, right? So... Soccer in the penalty box needs to be a bit more clear most of the time. Basketball now in the playoffs, there's a certain sort of unspoken let them go a bit more.
Yeah, we put the whistle away,
right? And how many times do you watch a game of soccer and say, "Oh, if that was anywhere else on the field, it'd be a free," but in the box,
exactly
happens every game, right?
It's like the second yellow. You know what I mean? The first yellow, they'll give it for whatever. Yep. The second yellow, it has to be, you know, like you're going to send him off. Yeah. It's going to be important. You know?
I would just love in footy if. Inside the 50, the umps were like, I think I might have seen something, but I'll let it go.
Yeah, I'm for that as well.
I'd rather see that. And it goes with 50-meter penalties too. Like, how many times would it happen where the ump will say stand and then the player acts like he can't hear him or maybe doesn't hear him and then he gives him the benefit of the doubt and says 1 meter or like 1 meter back or whatever. Yeah. And they actually give him like two or three chances to move.
Yeah.
And then the next game you'll watch, the player like moves a toe and it's 50.
Yeah. It's like, 50 is too much of a penalty for...
Way too much.
Like, you have to kill someone to get a 50, I reckon.
Correct. But anyway, look, this game was complete, probably worst game of the year to watch.
It was unwatchable, man.
Yeah. Horrible game. Butler was huge for the Saints, though.
Yeah.
I think they really needed a spark up forward,
yeah,
to be honest. Like,
he was. I think the other shining line is Windhager's tagging. We're seeing the return of the tag at the moment. Yeah. I mean, if you've got the ability to get a defensive mid to take out Miller, I mean, it didn't end up... Maybe it did end up winning them the game at the end because Miller, he had that big goal in the last quarter but didn't do anything else after that.
Mm.
I can't stand the tag, to be honest with you.
I like it personally.
I hate it.
Look, I think like when it comes to the strategy, I kind of like it as well, to be honest with you. I think I hate it for Supercoach because now I can't captain anyone anymore.
No.
You can't,
no one's safe.
Yeah, no one's safe, man. You know.
I would rather, if you thought Tuukka Miller was the biggest danger, I'd rather say Jack Steele. Just stay by his shoulder and win the ball before
I don't agree because not every team has a really strong tagger, right? So Windhager's proven himself over the last couple of weeks to be a really good tagger, right? If you can stop one of their players, do it.
You've just got the Chincotta goggles on right now.
Yeah, true.
Hey, man, he's doing some work. But what I'm saying is Ross Lyon can't actually – his midfield's not strong enough to go with Gold Coast. So he has to tag some players.
Maybe if he called up Brad Crouch from the VFL after 3:30 disposal games in a row.
Is he fit?
He's fit for the last 3 weeks, bro.
Oh, wow.
30 touches every game.
Because Paddy Wow's holding the spot, that's why.
Can you? Oh, my God. The Saints are just, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to them, but if I supported them, I'd be very upset.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point where you'd rather just accept the top three pick and not win this kind of game.
I honestly think maybe the Saints should be sent to Tassie instead.
Ooh.
Geez. See, I think, though, that talk should be, that really should be happening, man, because they don't get crowds. You know, I'm sick of us copping that.
They
shit.
Suck, man. I'm sorry, Saint Kilda. Like, I have a soft spot for Saints because of how bad they've been, and I really love Nick Riewoldt.
That's fair. No, but, he was. But, you know what? Actually, you know, when he played, I didn't like him. I thought he was a sook.
He was a special player, though. Nick
he Riewoldt. Was special, but he was a sook, bro. Anytime he versed North, he'd just always crack a sook. You know what I mean?
What I'm saying is,
where's
you can hate, you can you hate know. Collingwood, bro.
That's his footy right there, bro.
I don't know, man.
Shout out my daughter's first footy. Thanks, George.
Yeah, no problem.
Great gift.
Nick Riewoldt was the type of guy to get 100 super coach in one quarter, man. You can't hate that.
Okay, all right. That's fair. That is fair. He's that guy.
Can I make a bit of a comment about the Suns here, right?
Mm.
I've told you guys for years now, these guys are frauds. And you just want to believe. Like, I appreciate your enthusiasm, specifically George. These guys are not making the finals.
They haven't won one game away from home.
Then that's it. They cannot make finals without, I'm telling you. It's not happening.
Nah, it's fair. That's fair.
They can't, man.
Yeah.
Oh. Despite the fact that we like a lot of their players.
Yeah, we do.
Flanders.
Yeah.
Rao, King, Noah.
They've got a lot of good fun
good.
Players, man.
Yeah. I'm a Sexton
Mac Andrews
guy now.
A great player. Sexton's great.
What about Euland?
Bodie, man.
All right.
Bodie. Can I just say something, right?
So his parents left out the R unintentionally. It was a mistake.
All right. So in Supercoach this week, I've just checked the update. I've dropped 1,000 ranks, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not going to blame it solely on Tuukka Miller, but he got like a 58. Bodie Euland, right?
160 or something.
157. How does Bodie Euland get 99 more Supercoach points than you?
Because he's a gun.
He intercepted everything, right?
Yeah. He was actually like seriously good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I reckon we move along from
just
those
real quick,
shitty teams, man.
Saints, eight of their next 10 games are at Marvel. Can you believe that?
Mate, they're a finals chance now.
If they were actually in half decent form, that's like a red carpet rollout to finals and they've blown it.
True.
Well done, Saints.
Speaking of like the red carpet rollout, mate, they don't even need it, to be honest with you, but the Sydney Swans, mate.
Yeah.
Mate, they're two games clear now.
They're a
special team.
The
man.
First quarter, I've never seen Sydney so rattled in my life. Geelong was excellent. They were turning it over. They couldn't do a handball.
Yeah, they played the best they could possibly play Geelong.
And it just disappeared.
Yeah. Well, once Sydney get on top and they got that roll.
My God.
I mean, what? So the Geelong was 35 points up and they lost by how much? 20 or so?
30 in the end.
30.
Yeah, jeez. Papley 4. Warner and Heaney, man. How does Warner hit the scoreboard? So regularly.
Well, so does Heaney, man.
Heaney, we half expected. He's played forward most of his career.
Yeah.
Like, what's Warner doing kicking 2-3 goals, popping up?
He's a special player. Didn't we say he was like one of the best players in the comp at the moment, surely?
Yeah, we mentioned that. We talked about last week on the pod, top five players in the pod in the AFL at the moment. But one thing, right? We're talking like, you talked about your All-Australian team, mid-year All-Australian team in the group chat. And he said, Goulden's been all right, but I don't think he's been good enough for AA.
Yeah,
he slapped you in the face there with that game, bro. Like, I think you've got to measure the expectations on him a little bit because he's playing a lot more wing. Like, a lot more wing, which works because he stays out on the field for longer. Like, his time on... Like, I'm curious to see what his time on ground is.
Look, he played a lot of wing last year.
He played 95% of the game. Yeah. That's a lot. And this, what was his CBAs? He played... only 8 CBAs.
Yeah.
So he's the fact that he can be on that wing and just run all day and he's always an option and his kicking is immaculate.
Mm.
Man, it suits him, you know? Like, and it's suiting him as well.
What a luxury Sydney have just to put him on the outside.
I know.
They've got so many infinite plays in the midfield in the inside.
Yeah.
So he's not going back into the inside.
Probably not. No. Well, the thing is they already have so many good options in there. And I think if this is the case where he's going to stay on the wing predominantly, by far and away the best winger in the AFL. Like, there was
without a doubt. Yeah,
like, there was talk about, you know, Josh Takos. But Josh Takos, you know, he's so inefficient with it compared to Goulden.
No, Goulden. It's all Goulden is the best winger in the comp. That's without a doubt. Mm. Yeah.
100%.
Mm. I think my take on the All-Australian is that I don't... They put Petrarca on the half-forward line. They put Bont on the half-forward line. Don't tell me that you need to isolate this wing role when you throw everyone randomly.
Yeah, true.
That's my point.
But my little counter-argument, right, for Goulden, right, is Sydney are two games clear. You've got to give them like 6 or 7 Australians.
Well, that's what they do.
That's exactly right. So if that's the case, it's going to be Warner. It's going to be Heaney. It's going to be Goulden. Probably not Grundy. I'm trying to think. Who's the other options?
Gorn is the ruckman.
Yeah, Gorn's the ruckman. So they'll probably try to chuck someone in there. Like,
the Lizard's been pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. They'll probably put him. If McCartan plays enough games, they'll probably put him. Something like that. You know what I mean? They try to give him as much as possible.
Does Hayward sneak into the forward line, forward pocket?
Yeah, possibly. Why not? He's a good player.
Grundy might get that second ruck spot on the bench.
Well, who's that? Yeah, actually. Yeah,
he's been very good.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's been decent.
Hayward got signed up, so he ain't going to Adelaide.
He's not
going
to Carlton. We don't need him, man. We've got Zach Williams.
Yeah, true.
We'll talk about that. Quickly on Geelong. This is a bit of a Chris Scott criticism.
He went straight to the excuses. Did you watch the post-game interview?
I didn't, but it doesn't surprise me. Straight to the excuses. You can tell me about that in a sec, right? But there's something about Chris Scott and the way he just unnecessarily changes up the position of his players, that really bugs me. It's almost like an arrogance of knowing your team's baseline level is always going to be pretty solid due to the experience and whatnot. Like little things, firstly, like Tui in the half forward now all of a sudden, or like Cameron playing way up the field, no any of the goals. He's great up the field, don't get me wrong, but he's Jeremy Cameron. You want him in the 50. Why is he playing most of his game outside of the 50? Every other team would kill to have him. And you just like throw the magnets around just cause. They deserve to lose. I'm sorry. Like, remember they had Stewart like in your CBA?
Yeah, that was ridiculous, man.
And then they'll have some set of bounces of like Atkins. Who's the guy in defense?
Bose?
The Irish guy, sorry.
Bruin?
No, O'Connor. They'll have O'Connor, Blitzarves, and Atkins as their on ball.
That's what are you doing? Gross, man.
You know
that's the worst midfield in the comp.
They get away with it. And I'm happy to see every time they lose that they don't get away with it. Because they really, I don't know, it's an arrogance on Chris Scott's part.
It's hard to know whether Geelong are good or bad. They've lost a lot of their last games. What is it? Lost 5 of their last 6 games, man. That's not a top 8 team.
No. In saying that, though, because they won so many of those games early.
They're still there.
They just need to win a few games, mate. They've got a bye coming up now.
Yeah.
They'll rest up a little bit, you know, have a couple swings at the golf. And then Carlton.
Again, we just played them, man.
Huge. Revenge time, George.
I reckon we've got them.
Let's talk about the Carlton game then. How about that?
All right, he's George's monologue time.
I'll put my mic down this time.
No, I don't. I'm not going to. Look, you guys have got your first win in a while. So this one, all I'll say is, it's nice to kind of reflect on the last year or so, because Carlton versus Essendon last year, when Essendon beat us, was like the lowest point Carlton has been in a very long time. And we actually bounced back the week after against Gold Coast, and we started our run where we made it to the prelim.
That's when I posted that TikTok.
Yeah, that's when that's when I posted that TikTok of me like saying like Carlton's the worst team ever.
Yeah,
and
trade
everyone called me a bozo. And
yeah, that was look. That is one of the my favorite things I've ever made.
Look,
because the just the heart of your emotions, you know,
it's such a good documented video though, because it shows what it was at that time and the turnaround. And a year since then, Carlton made the prelim and has had a very, very consistent year so far this year, playing great football. So good on them for turning around, but it's a nice little reflection. The other thing is Essendon, you always can understand a team when they play against your own team, because you have a picture in your mind of the benchmark of what your team is. So when a team comes against you like Essendon and you watch them play, you get a better understanding of where they're at. And they're actually not a bad team. No. And what I would say about Essendon is they play a very kind of transition game style, and they're very quick. And if you let them on the outside, they'll actually tear you to shreds. And Carlton was aware of that. And they played a very, very, very disciplined, tight game, and a lot of mark kick as well, purposely to stop Essendon from playing that game style. And they even said, Wiedering said it, Voss said it, in the third quarter they went away from that, and Essendon had all the ascendancy. So they actually are a pretty threatening team. They've got a lot to work on. They're not there yet, but they actually do have some tools. So they are a way better team than they were last year, Essendon. Way better. So
Flowers Fessenden and Zoumi.
Yeah.
There we go.
No, much better than I expected.
Do you want me to give you a stat that'll put what you're saying
inside 50s?
Exactly. 60 to 41.
Well,
they won it. But obviously the accuracy was not there at all, which is weird because they do have a lot of sharp shooters. Like, well, you know, you got Peter Wright, who didn't get a goal.
He didn't have a mark.
Who wrecked one of my multis.
He didn't have a mark, bro.
He didn't. That's
I guess it's on Wiedering.
That's when you have the best fullback in the league, eh?
Yeah,
you know, apart from Charlie Comyn. But what was it? Yeah, Langford, sharpshooter. Who else? They got sharpshooters, you know?
Look, what it was Carlton, you know what it reminded me of? A lot of people said, it's not just me, like I had three or four different people, Carlton supporters, say something along the lines of, Essendon reminded me or us of Carlton a couple of years ago, or even years back, where we'd be so brave and so hard and attack the big Titan team, hit him inside 50s, repeat entries, beat him around the midfield, try so hard and still lose to the efficiency of the other team. And that's what Carlton has. It's really great. We have become such a good team. And I don't mean that in an arrogant sense. We play four-quarter football. Everyone in the team stands up and plays their role. And it's just happened. It's only happened this year, but we finally – and that's why I'm actually quite excited about Carlton this year. Sydney are clearly the best team, but Carlton is up there. And they play such strong football. And we were so efficient, man. The way that we kind of cut apart Essendon, we showed them how to play football, really. And the power that this team has when the time Essendon throws everything and we go, all right, our time, bang. That quarter four came out in the first 5 minutes and had like five or six scoring shots. It's crazy power, man. But back to Essendon, it's kind of like they just attacked and attacked. They had the inside 50s, bomb it in, our defenders caught it, kicked it out, bomb it back in, and they're just stacking up these inside 50 numbers, but they just couldn't find a way to get it done. And it reminded of like the Carlton of yesteryear, where they just, you know, when you have those teams where you just try so hard, but then they counter punch and they're just efficient. That's where Essendon has to get to. So I think they're on their progression as a team, but back to Carlton, I think, man, we've come such a long way, this team. Like, I really have. And you've got players, like, we're still missing Chera, we're still missing a couple of other key cogs. I mean, Doherty's out for the whole year, but some of these role players, like you mentioned, Chincotto, who's suddenly a tagger. Williams comes into the forward line. He's going to change our season, this guy.
He is so clean.
He's clean
with
mate.
The ball, yeah. And he's a finisher as well. I did not look. I always thought of him as just like this speedy dude who can get onto, who can break the lines. His kicking is good at points,
yeah,
but sometimes he just sort of just smacks it,
yeah.
I don't know what it is in the half forward line. All of a sudden, he's calmed it down. You know what I mean? And he can just be efficient and, you know, damaging as well.
I think it's his most suited role because he can be a bit of a spastic. But if he's spastic, forward towards goal, there's a bit more margin for error.
Yeah, and especially when you got, you know, Charlie Kerner and Mackay.
And don't get me started on Kerner, man. That guy is an insane player, man. Yeah. Like, this guy had back to back knee recos, comes back after not playing footy for 2 years, wins back to back Coleman's, and is leading for the third year in a row.
Now, I want to know, what was the knock on him in his draft time? Where
he had was driving I don't know if it was drink driving. He had one of those indiscretions.
Carlton, like, hey, bro, just we'll give you a couple, a bit, we'll give you a bottle of alcohol. Start driving, you know. We'll send the cops your way, and then all
inside
of a sudden,
training man. Well, Kurnow was picked 12. Wiedemann was picked 9. Sam Wiedemann, that is.
Oh.
Come on, man. Kurnow's a special player.
Yeah. That's
crazy. Anyway, look, moral of the story is I thought it was a tough win from Carlton. Disciplined. We're on to second on the ladder. But Essendon, definitely no slouch. So there's the flowers for Zumi. Yeah,
that's fair, man. That's fair. Can I just ask a quick question for you? De Koning, happy with keeping this Pidnet out or Pidnet in? Because he was playing a role as well.
Yeah, look, De Koning was best on. And actually, you know, you've talked about Cherry. I would actually say Tom De Koning is probably the second best ruck in the comp at the moment.
So Cherry won.
Cherry won. Go on three, right? Yeah. He's playing some serious football, man. This guy is insane. Like, he had like 5 or 6 score involvements in the first 5 minutes. Like, I think he was involved in everything in the last quarter. To answer your question, I think we need Pitt on it just because when TDK has a rest, we're exposed with Cripps in the ruck or Kennedy in the ruck. So I think you need Pitt on it just for consistency in the clearances so that we don't have that ebb and flow. And so that Tom De Koning doesn't have to do everything because he's dodging, he's weaving, he's running. It's a lot of effort on the kid. I don't like Pidnett playing as much because it really affects our run. But we're not really a run spread team. We kind of know where this inside kind of grunt kicker to big players team.
Brutal midfield.
So I think you love that. Huh? So I think Pidnett has to come in purely just to protect Tom De Koning, to be honest.
Fair enough. I've got one more question for you.
Tell me.
What was it like waiting till Sunday to play a game?
I hate it.
First Sunday game of the year for the Blues, I checked.
Was it? It was a long wait. It was a long wait, man. I didn't love it. But look, I don't like the Thursday, Friday Carlton slots because
really?
I don't get to catch the game. You know, I'm out and about or doing some bits and pieces on the weekday. I prefer the Saturday 4:30. It's my favorite slot.
The North slot, basically.
The North slot.
There you go. Hey, just jump over to the North, mate.
Just start losing games again. I'll give it to you.
We won't be doing that anytime soon.
Nah, fair enough.
One other thing I've got, I've just read Elijah Hollands, man. What a steal of a footballer, dude. He is the perfect slot in for this team. A former pick 7. We got him for, what did we get him for, Fisher or for Dow?
Everyone knew this would work out because he's drafted injured, recovered in his first year, played a few games in his second year.
Yeah.
And then, right when he's going to explode. Yeah. You pinched him.
Yeah.
And he looked good in the few games that he did play for Gold Coast as well. You know, people were like, oh, this kid.
He's a good player, man. He runs all day like his brother. He's classy. Yeah. He kicks straight. He's a forward half kind of. He's getting midfield minutes and then he's going half forward, which is exactly what Carlton kind of needs.
He started the first centre bounce, didn't
he? Yeah, he's playing centre bounce and then rotating forward. Perfect.
That's what you want, man. Mm. Nice.
Yeah. All right.
Last game was today, boys. So Collingwood did the business against Melbourne.
Yeah. That was a pretty boring-ish game, not going to lie. Like,
Melbourne's just...
Yeah, I think... So Petrarca, when he got injured early, so he copped the knee in the ribs, and then when he got back out there, he just looked sluggish and you just knew he wasn't there. That took the sting out of the game big time, man. Like, I feel like from that point on, there was never a chance. There was never a chance. Because even though Collingwood are injured and, you know... They're a weakened team. The midfield's probably not as strong as it could be, which it's still decent. And Dacos was getting tagged out of the game. Melbourne have to be at their very best just to beat them. You know, I think Melbourne rule them out of contention for premiership.
I agree with that.
It's done,
and it's a sad done. Way to like, for their era to. You could argue end like two consecutive finals of getting swept.
Yeah,
and now this.
Well, it's
bad.
The thing is that I think Melbourne's heavily relied on just the brilliance of Oliver and Petrarca. Like these two are like some of the best mids, maybe top three mids in the last 4 years or something. Just their best top of their game. Yeah. Oliver's not that anymore, and they lost Brayshaw. That's like losing. Say Oliver's playing okay, but not great. They've lost 1.5 players. We'll call it. Just in the offseason that hasn't been replaced.
Yeah.
That they're heavily reliant on those kind of players. Brayshaw's gone. Oliver's nothing like he was. That in itself is enough to dip their form.
You could see it in Oliver at points in this game that he actually looked all right. Like he looked like his old self, but like it was not what he was, man. Yeah,
the guy's a freak.
But that top five question that you posed to me last week. If you had posed it to me 2 years ago, you would definitely have Petrarca and Oliver in.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, like, and maybe, look, before Gawn was his career was interrupted by sharing the ruckload with, you know, with Grundy. Yeah. You might have put him in the top five as well at that time.
Yeah. Look, I think Petrarca is still a top 10 player. He's still brilliant. But, yeah, Oliver has massive fall from grace, unfortunately.
Mm. Look, I think he'll be back at some point. I don't know if it's this year.
It's probably next year. Yeah. He needs a preseason to get him back, I think.
But he didn't look that bad today. I will say that.
He looks okay. That's what I'm saying. It's like losing 1.5 players, not a full player. Mm.
So yeah. Melbourne has the bye this week. Want to know who they're playing the week after?
North Melbourne.
The Mighty Kangaroos, man. Ooh. Danger. Okay.
So they'll bounce back.
Danger game. Danger game.
Nah. And you know what? Interestingly enough, you know who we have next week? Saturday, 1:45.
The Pies.
The Pies, you know.
Ugh, so that's a hard
run. They're going to smack us. But, you know, at least, it's weird. These two teams, they're linked by, you know, facing the informed North Melbourne.
Now, the Pies, look, we mentioned their injuries. They just got that next man up.
Yeah. They're a good team. Like, they're still very much in the running for the flag this year.
Yeah. They, like, Kruger's just come in, provided a bit of aerial presence for them, kicked a couple. Yeah.
The industrial smoothing was done quite nicely. You could say. Do you know that reference? Nah, Kruger Industrial Smoothing.
Don't know it.
Don't know that.
What?
I thought you were a Seinfeld fan, mate.
I am, but not that deep.
Jeez. Nah. It's when George gets that job and he's got that lazy boss who just doesn't care. That boss is just like, oh, the human fund. All right.
I can't remember.
What?
I can't remember.
The crew. That's
you got to show me later.
Yeah, no, show you. Look, as soon as you see,
I appreciate it.
He gets that job at that place where he, you know, the boss.
I remember the Penske file.
Gets a job at the place,
man.
No,
it's not that. It's not that. I'll show you later. I'm shocked that you don't know it.
Show me.
Whoever knows that, whoever, surely there'll be some people who know about that reference. Anyway, that fell flat.
Good joke, man. So thanks for that.
No. Look, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's fair
enough,
man.
I'm always going to give it a shot.
That's
on
me. That's not on Matt.
Yeah. Nah, look, I don't know, man. Like, I bombed. You know what I mean? Like, bro, bombed.
God.
Anyway.
Tips?
Yeah, let's do tips.
Let's run into it. So, you know, I want to give it to Dina. I like it getting read out to me.
All right.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, you know.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Brisbane hosting the Saints.
Interesting Friday night.
Yeah, because of the Monday.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I think without doubt, Brisbane, not even going to mention anything else.
Yeah. Wait, did you say it was against the Saints?
Yes.
Why are they playing Friday? What?
Well, they were finals team last year, so I guess they made the fixture and thought it might have been a tasty clash, but.
Yeah, no.
It's 13th versus 14th, so. You know, there you go.
Yeah.
The Dogs are hosting Frio at Marvel. This is interesting.
I'm going to say Frio just because I want them to win. That's all.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Dogs to bounce back.
I don't know how to tip the Dogs, but I'm going to go...
I do like Frio. I want Frio to win, don't get me wrong.
I like the Barcelona Dockers, personally.
I'll go Frio because I think they'll squeeze the life out of the game and the Dogs are a bit hey sometimes. Mm. Richmond, Hawthorn at the G.
Richmond and Hawthorn.
I'm actually going to go the 300th Richmond, man. Tigers have been fighting hard this year. They just haven't had the personnel. Mm. I think they get if Tom Lynch gets back, for some reason I feel like he's back.
If Tom Lynch is back, yeah. Ooh, that does change things.
I could be talking out of my ass. He could be weeks away, but I think
I'll hop on the Hawthorn train, to be honest.
Yeah, same. I can't go against the Hawks, man. The way they're going, their form is just
Richmond has had two decent weeks in a row, though. Obviously, the win.
I think big game player Dusty is going to big game play his 300.
You reckon? He'll have a big game, but I think they'll lose.
Still. Yeah, I want to have a little look. So, it does say Tom Lynch 1 week.
Yeah, there you go.
So he will, and it does say, I love how they put Dusty in the injured column, managed 1 week.
Yeah, that's
That's ridiculous, man. You just don't put him there.
Joke, man.
Anyway,
joke.
You don't need to have him there.
Wait, what about Hopper? Is Hopper close?
Hopper 2 weeks, so he'll miss it.
All right, next game is Adelaide Crows hosting the Swans.
Adelaide Crows.
Man, just skip.
Yeah, it's
Swans. That's a big fat Swans right there. Yep. Yeah. Sunday, 1 o'clock, North Melbourne hosting the Pies at Marvel.
Is it Sunday?
Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Oh, I thought it was Saturday.
There's a lot of buyers. There's a lot of buyer teams this week.
Yeah. So look,
the Pies, man.
Look, I'm not an idiot. I know we're massive underdogs, right?
Yeah.
I'll just say two things. One. Mm. Obviously, G up the win. So maybe it's a bit of momentum. Two, Collingwood's going to have a really short turnaround because of the Monday game. So, is Dacos going to be okay? You know, if Dacos is out.
They might rest him.
They might rest him.
Mm.
You know, that's give him 2 weeks off because their bye is the week after. Mm. So I'm going to G up a North tip. Why not? Yeah. And we did play okay against them last year.
We did. Yeah, look.
Come on. No, yeah, you know look, what? Redeem yourself for not tipping us last week.
You know what? Nah. I'll do it. I'll do it. Let's go Let's North, it. Man. Let's do it. You know.
Come on, Georgie.
In saying that, even if I said pies, I'd still put North when I do the editing.
That's it.
To be honest with you.
Good man. Would be sick if we won this game.
No, it'd be insane. I'd love it. Come on. Trust me, I'd love it.
Come on.
Change your tip, Georgie.
No. It's not happening. Sorry, boys.
All right. Last game, Giants hosting Port at NG Stadium.
Look, both teams are like top four hopeful type teams who are playing kind of bad.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with GWS just because we don't like Port personally. And it's at NG Stadium.
I'm happy for Giants to start their run again.
It's probably not a smart pick.
No, I don't think they'll win.
I think Port, if the Giants don't have their midfield back, I think Port can get a good hold of the game.
Yeah,
Horn Francis has been like incredible.
He's been amazing. Yeah.
You know, maybe I might switch over to Port. I'm not going to lie.
I think Horn Francis.
Dean's convinced me, man.
And I hate Port. But
if Dino's picking Port, I think then the Giants there must just, be a chance.
The Giants aren't themselves. I don't know.
No, but they got to. I think they'll respond at some point.
I agree, but I don't know.
Isn't it? It's at home.
It is at home.
You know what? I might go back to Jim.
No. Jesus, this guy.
You make a compelling argument.
Nah.
All right.
Why do you think they'll win? Because?
Yeah, no, because George said so. No, I'm impressionable. We'll go with Port.
One thing I forgot, I just read over my notes.
Yeah.
Pies Melbourne games, real quick. Cozzy Pickett in the third quarter did a sick play. He chased down, won the ball free kick, missed the snap, got a bit of shit spoken to him by Jeremy Howe, and he flipped off Jeremy Howe right in his face. He's going to get fined, obviously.
But yeah.
It was actually quite hilarious. They didn't even really acknowledge it on the TV. They were kind of shocked. They're just gave him the bird right in his face.
Pickett is just, he's one of those guys that is always involved in some sort of controversy, man.
He is.
Yeah, I'll never forget when he...
He's not a turn-the-cheek type of guy.
I'll never forget when he torpedoed into to Bailey Smith.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite things. That was one of my favorite footy moments, man. You know, so he's always amongst
Bailey Smith didn't recover from that, man.
He's still recovering. He's out.
No, he freaking torpedoed him to.
What would
Geelong
that be like nowadays? That'd be like 8 weeks. What do you get for?
I reckon it was two. It might have been two, man. It might have been two.
But he annihilated him.
He did.
It's one of the first thumbnails of the pod, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was with Ralph Wiggum. It was something. It was weird.
Because it wasn't Ralph rolling down the hill.
Because I came up with it. There was a moment where someone threw Ralph through the Simpsons front window.
Yeah.
They just chucked him in like he was just like a log or something. That was what we did creative thumbnails back in the day. Now they're just, you know, us, a couple players.
No, it's good.
Look, I think it's consistent now because I can't come up with something every week. I really couldn't. Like, you know.
Is he going to make a little comeback? Ralph.
What's that, Ralph? Probably not. No, this week's going to be just a full North Melbourne. Yeah. Every player's going to be North.
Can I make a request?
Yeah.
Sherry, Archer.
Yeah.
Simpkin.
I'm probably going to do one. I'm probably going to do LDU.
Oh, and LDU. All right, fine.
I'm probably just going to do LDU.
He's going to get all the eyes on the big money man.
On the big money man.
LDU is the big draw of those
players. Yeah. And I know. I'm trying to entice the audience to watch the videos. You know what I mean?
All right.
There's more to it than, you know, just... Look, if we did North Melbourne Enjoyers, then Jackson Archer 100% would be on the front of the thumbnail, you know. We don't have the time.
He's more of a niche pick here.
Yeah, 100%. Look, we haven't had the time to do North Melbourne Enjoyers as a pod, which I think would be all right, you know, if we find the time to, you know.
Look, I'm sure there's other crazy North fans out there that would enjoy it, but.
Yeah, look, I reckon in 2 years, right, in a couple of years when North start winning games,
just jump on the wagon.
You know? Yeah. But anyway, look, it's been fun having you back, Dino, for another pod.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Man, I miss the three-man pod, man. The vibes are immaculate.
It feels right. With North winning, it was only right.
Immaculate vibes.
It was either this or just a 15-minute recording that you'd have to throw in at the end of the pod. So.
True. But yeah, no, it's better we got it with your face involved as well, you know.
You can see the excitement.
That's it.
Check it out. Thanks for watching. Beat the Pies this week, too.
Thanks for watching, guys.
See you guys. Harley Reid is not playing. Oh. Oh yeah, he's suspended for 2 weeks. Oh. Well, in the meantime, Joe Simpkins won himself a free kick after a tackle on Yo. Dubious circumstances, it seems, but he's gone and slotted it, and this might be North's first win of the year. Wowee!